It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Morning. You're right. Hope you are. Sincerely, genuinely hope you are. Yeah, I'm all right, I suppose. Contemplative today. 25 years since 9/11, isn't it? Those old enough to remember will remember. All right, it's 8 in the a.m. British summertime. Friday, September the 11th, in the year of our Lord. 2026, 25 years on from the most surreal, most extraordinary day in my life, easily, nothing, I'm anywhere close to that. Right, we'll talk about it today, we'll talk all about it. As always, nearly always, I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning, yeah, we're good.
It's the body voice of the producer there. Godlike, omnipresent. Harry, you weren't even born, were you? What year were you born?
2005.
Feel old yet? 2005. Bloody hell. Grown up man. Alright. Alright. Well, should we just get straight into it? What is the cabal of evil Fleet Street editors talking about? Quite frankly, evil Fleet Street editors talking about this morning. What misdirection are they going with today? What liars by omission are they talking about or not talking about today? Let's get into it. Let's have a look. Today, I think I want to spend less time on the normal headlines and talk about 9/11 a fair bit today. I think that's what I want to do. Some of the front pages go with it, or do they? One or two of them do. Not many of them do. A lot of the websites are, although not all of them. But I think today, that's what I want to do. I feel like doing today. So let's just whip through it. The day that changed the world forever. Obviously, talking about 9/11. Harry, do you want to bring that up so people see? There you go. Day that changed the world forever. And mayors plot holes tax. Holiday tax. Vacation tax. Mayors plot holes tax. Good one. Good way of writing. Right, The Guardian. Ugh, revolting. Absolutely, absolutely disgusting. Pure slop subversion. I'd end it if I could, if I was King of England. Or absolute monarch, rather, not just king. Okay, a hammer blow. Plan for English tourist tax and just Angus hotel industry. Yeah, the story is, quickly, fairly briefly, that Andy Bumham's government, no Stirling Burnham, and his housing secretary, Angela the Fridge Rayner, Big Bird, who stands 7 foot 2 inches tall, and weighs an incredible 500 pounds. And she's a fridge trainer. They've decided that what they're going to do, they're going to let local councils or local mayors set a tax on overnight stays. So hotel, obviously, hotels, B&Bs, I think even Airbnb, anything like that. With no upper limit. The mayors will just have sort of complete power to just whack a tax on like that. Because there's a massive crisis in funding, local funding. Right, but the upshot is that normal people that can't even afford a foreign holiday tried to have some sort of holiday in Britain, a staycation. It's, that becomes insanely expensive as well now. You want a few days in Blackpool? You want to stay over a few days down in Perranporth or something? That's going to cost you loads. Because the socialists need your money to pay for our invasion. Pay for boomer pensions. To pay for an NHS which is completely unsustainable. They won't stop spending. They will not stop spending. So you've got to pay up. Say it will make loads of businesses shut down because they just can't afford things anymore. It'll cost 30,000 jobs or something, 35,000 jobs or something. Or not, they can't afford things. People won't go, and so that was their whole margin. It'll be too expensive. People won't go there. Use their B&B, say. It was struggling. Its margins were tiny as it was. Less people go there now because of this tax that's imposed from above by their mayor, the local authority, and that's their whole profit margin, and they go out of business. People lose jobs. Right. And I thought Andy Burnham, one of the main things he wanted to do, one of his main pledges was to help people, normal people, with the cost of living crisis. Well, as long as you don't go on holiday, as long as you don't want to stay overnight somewhere else, because that's will be more expensive now. There you go. Brilliant. Thanks, Andy. The Bayeux Tapestry is in town. This is the British Museum there. Behind there, that's the facade of the British Museum there, and that's the gates, the railings. And these people, these two women decided to come dressed up, decided to LARP as, Normans. It's funny, they're wearing Norman-style helmets, but they've got Anglo-Saxon-style shields. Anyway, the Bayeux Tapestry's here. Be lucky to get a ticket and get in. You're only allowed 40 minutes to walk around. I found that out yesterday. 40 minutes. Seems a bit miserly. Okay. Borrowing costs soar as investors dump bonds. Yeah, apparently the 30-year yield on US bonds is all kinds of foobar. Today, they're saying. Film reveals IDF, Israeli Defense Force, the Israeli Army, reveals their systems used in Gaza killings. There's some film, there's a film festival. It's like the Venice Film Festival or something, I don't know. One of the film festivals. There's only been one entry into the documentary category. One entry, and it's this one. Made by Israelis, sort of anti-Gaza operation, anti-Benjamin Netanyahu type Israelis. They made a film. It was produced by The Guardian. They slipped that in. The film, the documentary is produced by The Guardian. The only entry, is it Cannes or Venice? I don't know. One of the bigger film festivals. And it's a documentary revealing how, like, from all evidence from all sorts of whistleblowers within the IDF about how they have killed loads and loads of civilians in Gaza. According to that article. Take it or leave it. That's what that article says. All right. The Daily Mail. Daily Mail. This woman was a teacher and apparently she sexually assaulted boys and girls. She was on trial for having sex with a boy, a teenage boy. But then, well, as the headline says, teacher found guilty of sex with teen boy, also abused two schoolgirls. Okay. Burnham's holiday tax to hammer families on UK breaks. All right, got it. Got it. The Tory graph, pure Zionist slop, anti-nativist British patriotic in sentiment, pure globalist filth. The Telegraph was once right-leaning, was once quite trustworthy. Now it's fallen into the hands of our racial, religious and tribal enemies. There you go. That's what the Tory graph is. Well done. If you work there and you think yourself patriotic or something, think you've got the nativist interest at heart and you work at the Telegraph, well, think about what you're doing, who you work for now. Have a word with yourself, actually. You want to be part of that, do you? You're going to be a cog in that machine, are you? Well done. All right. Labour mayors plot 5% tourist tax. Backlash from hotels and pubs as families face extra £198 on bill for staycation. Yeah, great. Thanks. Hamas praises Miliband's Israel sanctions. Of course it does. Yeah, of course it does. Yeah, they said it was, I think the quote was, a step in the right direction. Edwin Van calling it an ethnic cleansing. Hamas love that. Of course they would. I'd want nothing to do with both those, both parties. France wants UK to take migrants from EU. I bet it does. I bet it does. France is still our rival to this day. They may be our brothers, our cousins, the individual, normal, innocent people of France. But as a state, it's a state entity, it's a sovereign entity. It is still our rival. They'll still do what they could to undermine us in various ways. They do. Not could, they do. Okay. The Sun, what sloppy Joes of the Sun got? They're going with the holiday thing again. Working people whacked. Burnham vows cost of living help. Then taxes, staycations. What the whole PM, like what the hell? What the whole Prime Minister? Look, there he is. Can't help it. Won't stop spending on our invasion. So, you'll have to pay if you want to go to an Airbnb. Want a rainy weekend down in Scunthorpe? Andy Burnham, sorry, but you've got to pay more now. Something about Strictly Come Dancing, don't care. The Times, the Venerable Times, 81-year-old Helen Mirren is still making films. I really don't understand the psychology of someone that's really quite old and a multi-millionaire and their fame is secured and it's still not enough. Be prepared to ban masks at protests, police ordered. Just right-wing masks, sorry. Just people that are patriotic or nativist. Even if they're being led by the nose by some sort of honeypot psyop. Those people can't wear masks. Shabana Mahmood has told the police, be prepared to go in and make sure everyone takes their masks off if they're that type. It doesn't apply to Muslims, though. Says the Pakistani, the Muslim Pakistani Home Secretary. Doesn't apply to Muslims. But if white men want to cover their face for whatever reason, no. Police have got to break that up, stop that. Yeah. Households, this is an interesting story. Households face £100 on bill to pay cost of wind. Again, the odd sort of syntax cadence of that, the odd grammar, not grammar, the odd. Why do they write like that? Households face £100 on bills to pay cost of wind. What? What? Price of switching off turbines on aging network. It's just a story that if the government is to meet its own self-imposed green targets by 2030, they've got to swap over, it's something about swapping over from the older cables, pipes, I don't know what, to the new ones. That will cost loads of money to do that. And they'll just whack it on the bills. They'll just whack it on people's bills. Right, okay. The Eye Paper, finally the Eye Paper talks about 9/11. The day that changed the world. Yeah, it really did. 25 years on from 9/11, from the 9/11 tourist attacks, America remembers. The world remembers. 2,977 people, that's across all four of the incidents, or the three different sites if you count Manhattan as one. 2,977 people, including 67 Britons, died in the atrocity, which changed history and reshaped global politics. Yeah, it really did. It really, really, really did. Why Trump would not be president without 9/11. What's it got to do with Trump, really? They can't help themselves, can they? They can't help themselves. That may well be true, actually, why Trump would not be president without 9/11. But could you give it a rest for 5 seconds with the Trump stuff? Just immediately pivot back to Trump, back to Orange Evil Man, Orange Man Bad. Immediately. In the same breath, remembering what something, an atrocious thing that changed human history, changed the timeline of human civilization, and Orange Man Bad in the same breath. It's like, all right, okay. 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 We'll get onto it. We'll do the front pages, and then I'll spend a bit of time talking about it. Look, Yasmin Ali Baba Brown. What does she say? Britain is turning on people who look like me, but white allies are silent. Gutted? Oh, well, maybe you shouldn't have been obnoxious your entire life. Maybe you shouldn't have been a race baiter your entire life, Yasmin Ali Baba Brown. It's not just to particularly turn on people that look like you. Turning on you, because you're an obnoxious piece of trash. Disgusting woman. Is there anything she says that isn't trying to undermine Britain and British people, native British white people, ever? She said, ever said anything that's in our interest or in favour of us, ever? This is a woman of foreign ethnicity born in a foreign country. She only came here after she went to university. She's not British in any way, on any level. There's no argument to be made that she's British. But yet she comes here and writes piece after piece after piece after piece after piece, trying to undermine the fabric of our society, our very country. She is unbelievably evil. A bitter old foreign woman. A disgusting individual. Now she's complaining. Oh, Britain are turning on me. Well, if you hadn't been a subversive scumbag for decades, perhaps they wouldn't be. No introversion, Yasmin, no. You're not going to think about what you've done. You're not going to think about why that might be. It's just blind racism from British people, is it? Just blind bigotry for no reason, is it? Scumbag. Absolute scumbag, that woman. I'd deport her. I would, if it's up to me, I would deport her. Okay. For sedition. The Metro. Ugh. The Metro. Absolutely revolting, the Metro. All right, here we go. They do talk about 9/11, 25 years on. 2,977 died on a day of terror that shook the world, but 9/11's deadly legacy goes on as cancers claim lives of thousands who breathed in its clouds of toxic dust. Yeah, that's also a thing that doesn't get talked about very much. It's absolutely true. Apparently that dust was highly toxic. Carcinogenic. The Financial Times. There you go. Liberty Lights. US marks 25 years since 9/11. They've got those two beams of lights, don't they? Okay, oil price surge and signs of stubborn inflation reignite global bond sell-off. I told you, didn't I? Look, US 30-year yield saw. US government bonds, gilt-edged bonds, the 30-year yield on those soars. Because it's not that attractive of a deal, is it? Saudi's output falls. Crude at $107 a barrel. Let's quickly check in on the price of crude in real time. Let's do a refresh so we've got it exactly in real time. Brent crude is at $105.50 a barrel. West Texas just ticked over $100 a barrel. So yeah, creeping up there. Trump in $1 trillion vote pledge. That was an interesting thing. You might have seen it. I think it was in Texas, some sort of Republican Party rally. He said, I think the deal, what he says, if you guys out there, the US voting public, if you keep the Republicans in Congress, I will give everyone, every adult in America, $5,000 each. The only sort of stipulation is you have to spend it in America on American goods. You can't just spend it on going on a holiday in Japan or whatever, you know. So I'm just spending it on American stuff. Don't know how that could possibly be enforced. But he said he'd give every adult $5,000. It's just a bribe, isn't it? It's just a bribe. That sets a bit of a worrying precedent, doesn't it? That seems a bit like an ancient Roman donative to me. I feel like that's not a good idea. It sets a precedent, doesn't it? that the voting public will start demanding money like that in order to vote for parties. If history is anything to go by, that's not a good idea. That's a slippery slope. Like, yeah, I feel like he hasn't thought that through, really. He's trying to bribe the general voting public like that. What happened in Rome is not the normal people, the army, usually the Praetorian Guard, actually. It'll be like, when a new emperor came in order to just to garner the goodwill of the Praetorian Guard or the army, give them a so-called donative of money. Right? After a while, they started expecting it. After a while, if you don't give them their donative, they'll just murder you. So the next guy will come in and give them the donative because they've made sure he would give them the donative. Otherwise, he gets the chop as well, and so on and so on. Very, very slippery slope, that. No, I'm not saying exactly the same thing will play out. I'm saying once people sort of think it's their God-given right to have something like that, it becomes part of the political landscape. It needs to be more and more and more. Oh, yeah, it'll end up completely bankrupting the state as well, because it'll be so much, like in ancient Rome. It ends up crippling the emperors or the military generals or whoever. They can't afford it. Because it becomes more and more and more and more. Whoever the next guy is who promises you more, you vote for him. Until they're promising astronomical numbers that aren't sustainable, don't have any bearing on reality, really. Trust me, that's a slippery slope. Okay, Donald Trump said if you vote for him and the Republicans, every adult will get $5,000. Okay, that's not a concern. Sure. That's not another parallel with the decline and fall of the Roman Empire. Sure. All right. What else have we got? I want to get on to 9/11. The Daily Express. It's a good paper. You can read your Express now. Terminally ill Hannah Slater, a nobody, 38, urges MPs to back assisted dying bill in today's vote. Just pass the right to die bill for people like me. How about no, Hannah? How about there's something more at stake here than just you? It's terribly sad you're dying, but there's more at stake here. There's something bigger than just you, actually. How about no? How about that's the thin end of a wedge, where the state ends up being able to or encouraging lots and lots of people to die that needn't otherwise die. It's something bigger than you, Hannah, 38. How about no? Just pass the right to die bill. No. I'm not going to be manipulated by you, actually, Hannah Slater, 38. Thank you. Next, The Mirror. 9/11 and its toxic cloud of death still claims victims today. I live with legacy of what it's done to me. You go, look at that. It's like something out of a film, isn't it? We'll talk about it in a minute. 25 years later. Okay, all right. Esther Ransom, end of life care. It's too late for me. Frail TV star says a Dignitas trip out. Why'd they write like that? Dignitas is when you go to Switzerland and they kill you legally. If you want to end your life at the moment, you have to go to Switzerland and Dignitas will do it for you. Apparently Esther Ransom wanted to go to Dignitas, wanted a trip, but that trip's out now. It's out of the question now. Frail TV star says Dignitas trip out as she makes assisted dying bill plea. No, Esther. No. Why do you want the state to have the power of life and death even more than it does over people? Why do you... You don't see any problems. You don't think it's the theory of the witch. There's something bigger going on here, Esther, than you. So shut up. The Daily Star. Dame Esther, it's too late for Dignitas. Well. That is quite literally your problem. Right. They're the front page, increasingly frustrating and absurd front pages. Let's look at our poll, shall we? We look at our poll this time of the morning. Harry, if you bring that up for me. Yeah, we asked you guys, do you believe the official account and the conclusions of the 9/11 Commission? 66% say no. Surprising it's as low as that, because I don't. 66% say no. It's obviously a whitewash. 10% say yes. 25% say don't know. All right, 10% say yes. Gullible sheeple, get out. Get out. Unquestioning buffoons, leave. Have you read it? Have I read it? Yeah, big chunks of it. Yeah, big, big chunks of it. Yeah, I have, yeah. Yeah, the 9/11 Commission, yeah. No, don't go, though. Don't get out. Don't leave. I was joking. That's a joke. I still love you. We can make this work. I still love you, baby. I just get scared sometimes. Don't go. All right. There you go. Let's talk about it a bit then. 9/11, 25 years ago. 25 years ago. Does not feel like 25 years ago to me. I was about 20, 19 or 20. I was at uni. Hadn't bothered to get up that day. It was a Tuesday, wasn't it? If I recall, was that right? Was it a Tuesday? I'd supposed to get up and go to lectures that morning, travel from where I lived in Essex, in Havering, the London Borough of Havering in Essex, travel into central London to the Strand to go to lectures, seminars and lectures that morning, my undergrad degree in ancient history at King's College London. Didn't bother. Didn't bother that day. It was going to be some lecture about something I wasn't particularly interested in, had no intention of writing an essay about, and if it came up as an essay question in the exam, wasn't going to pick that one. Can't remember what it was. I have no idea what it was. Something I just wasn't interested in. Some bit of ancient history that I was like, I'm just going to stay in bed today. And so I was. And so I was in bed. I got a call from a very good friend of mine at the time. And he worked, he was working, he's my age, but he hadn't gone to uni and he'd gone to work. So he was working that day. And back then, some people had mobile phones, but it wasn't everyone had mobile phones. And apparently they didn't have a TV in their office, but somehow they'd got word one way or another. They'd got word that there was some big terrorist attack happening in New York and it was still playing out now. And he rung me up on his work landline, rung me up. Oh no, I did have a mobile. Sorry, yeah, no. Yeah, I got a mobile in my last year of sixth form college in like 1998 or 1999 or the year 2000. And I was quite late getting a mobile phone. So most people did have mobile phones. Sorry, yeah. They were really early ones. They weren't smartphones with like a screen. You could go on the internet. It was just a phone. You could do text messages on it. That was it. Anyway, he rang me up. He was like, there's something crazy going on in New York. Like, put your telly on right now. Tell me what's going on. Tell me what you're seeing. So I was like, okay, all right. Turn the TV on. And it was, both at that point in the morning, both World Trade Centers had already been hit. And it was just all over the news. It was one of those days when they stopped normal TV coverage. And I'm explaining this for people who are too young, basically. If you're old enough to remember, you're like, Bo, yeah, I remember, I was there. I'm sort of explaining this for Zoomers. Like, Harry, you don't, obviously, well, you weren't born for years yet. There'll be lots of Zoomers watching this. All right, I'm just going to talk about it because it's the anniversary of it. Okay, turn the TV on. And both the towers had already been hit by that point. I didn't know this. I'm only learning there's anything going on about 30 seconds ago. So they actually show a replay. At the moment I turned the TV on, they happened to be showing a replay of the second plane hitting the building. And I didn't know any of this. And so as I'm watching it, I'm just seeing the plane come in. And I thought I was watching it live. I wasn't. It was a replay. And I was on the phone to my friend going, yeah, God, one of the World Trade Centers is on fire. Yeah, it's all on fire. It's like a massive, there's all smoke coming out. It's like a big thing, yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Another plane just flew in. It's not funny. I'm not laughing out because it's funny. Oh, my God, that's nervous laughter. I thought I was watching it in real time. It had only happened moments before, like five minutes or so before the second one had hit. I thought I was watching it live. I couldn't believe it. It was like one of the few moments in your life when you're like, what did I just see? I don't know if you've ever seen an accident in real life, like a fatal accident, like you've ever seen a car crash in real life or anything like that, truly horrific in real life. For real, real. And you're just like, whoa. Couldn't believe. And anyway, it just went on and on and on that day. That something flew into the Pentagon. The Pentagon. Nobody attacks the Pentagon. Right? Mind blowing. Wait, what? Terrorists have blown up the Pentagon. Obviously, they're not going to blow up the whole building because it's one of the most giant buildings in the world, but they've attacked the Pentagon. It's mind blowing. You can't sort of believe it. And then there was reports of another plane, of course, coming down in a field in Pennsylvania. But if you lived through it, you will remember this that day. That for the whole day, right the way up to like late afternoon, even early evening, there were reports, and all the news channels, every news channel was covering it. There were reports all the time, there's another plane. There's another plane. They think there's another plane. Another plane's going to fly into the White House. We've got reports a plane has flown into the White House. No, sorry, that's not true. That's not right. The whole day was like that. There's reports there's a plane going to fly into Wall Street. Oh, no, it hasn't. There's reports of another plane flying into something else in New York. Or whatever, it just went on and on like that. No one knew when it was going to stop. There's reports that there's multiple planes flying around the skies of the United States. Like, ready, when everyone's like, thought it's over, they'll crash into other stuff. Nobody knew. And then quite quickly as well, there was hysteria. Oh, is something going to fly into the Eiffel Tower? Is something going to fly into Big Ben? Is something going to fly into all around the world? It was sort of mad. It was surreal. That's the word I would describe. Surreal. No one had ever known anything like it before. Nothing close. Nothing close to it. It was like something out of a movie. And I'll build on that theme in a minute. Look at some of the websites real quick. Daily Mail decides to go with. On 9/11, as America was under attack, the order came, get every goddamn plane out of the sky. 38 of those planes landed at an obscure airport in Newfoundland. What followed was humanity at its best. They were all clubbing together, getting together and helping each other out. Yeah, okay. Is that the main... Is that... Where hope defied hate. Is that the most important thing? Most important aspect of everything that happened that day? Is it? Or are you effectively lying by omission by going with that, deciding to talk about that element of it? 9/11, our stories. Yeah. All sorts of accounts. There's a great documentary, I would say, if you're interested in it. Oh, wait, the Express wants to go with something about Harry and the Sun wants to go with something about those Middlesbrough people. I think this was one of the best things I saw this morning on Sky News. Big, long piece all about the details of it. Just to say, over the years, over the 25 years that have been and gone since that day, I have, like a lot of people, read a number of books that have been published about it since, watched loads of documentaries, nearly every documentary I can find, watched loads and loads of lectures. I'm also fascinated with George Bush Jr. and the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, the war on terror. Got many, many books about 9/11 and different aspects, different elements of it. All about Bin Laden, all about the FBI and the CIA and the FAA. Book about Dick Cheney. Yeah? Book about Richard Pearl. Book about Paul Wolfowitz. Book about Paul Bremer. Yeah? All sorts of angles, all sorts of elements. Can't help myself, but as a history nerd, right? This is history. This is part of history, of course. It will go down history. It will be remembered 1,000 years from now. More. Read quite a lot about it and around it in all sorts of ways. Fascinated by it in a horrible, horrible, morbid way. Because just to reiterate, the whole of the human timeline did a Tron light cycle, boo, 90-degree turn in that moment. Because you knew. It was odd, you knew. On the morning. Within a few moments, when you get over the initial shock of what your eyeballs have just seen, you're like, ah, this will change everything. There's no way the United States doesn't react to this. There's no way George Bush Jr., so he wasn't a Biden-type president, George Bush Jr., right, the United States was going to make big moves after this, and you knew it. And you knew that if they would do that to the World Trade Centers, you, whoever you are, wherever you are, wouldn't be safe. Whoever they were who committed it. We'll talk about that in a moment as well. I don't care. I'm not afraid. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about who it really was. What happened there? Okay. Clear blue skies. They want to do a timeline on Sky News. They do a timeline. There's Mohammed Atta, apparently. Okay. They go through it. What they're supposed to have happened. These terrorists. Incidentally, I'll just let you know what I think. Take it or leave it. One thing I'll say before I dive into that. If you're young and you don't really know much about it, you've heard about it, you know, somebody has, but you don't know. When someone like me talks about my questions and concerns about what happened that day, really, you get, like a lot of things, you get a vast spectrum of response to that. A vast spectrum of replies. You get everything from, of course it was a stitch-up inside job orchestrated by the United States and perhaps Israeli intelligence. Of course it was that. Anyone who thinks it wasn't that has got to be the most naive baby of all time. You've got to be so dumb and blind not to think that, right? That's one end of the spectrum. And on the other end of the spectrum, you've got people that say, there are no unanswered questions. There are no unanswered questions about 9/11. Everything that was in the 9/11 Commission is exactly correct, and there's no more questions to ask. Anyone that's still asking any questions, any, about what happened that day, how it played out, and why, if you've got any questions, you're an idiot and a naive baby. You've got the mind of an idiot, a child. All the questions, there's nothing left to answer. It's all there in black and white. You're just being a conspiracy theorist. Just get your tinfoil hat out. That whole spectrum. Every now and again on Twitter, even over the last few years, every now and again, not even on 9/11, I might post something about 9/11. And here's a question. Here's something that never really got truly answered properly, or not to my satisfaction. And you'll get one or two people on Twitter immediately just say, you're crazy. You're a conspiracy theorist. All this has been answered. There are no questions. You'll get people that turn up and do that sort of straight away. Not like if I ever post something about space. You'll get one or two anti-space bros turning up immediately saying, space is fake and gay, it's not real, can't believe you fell for the NASA psyop. On 9/11, if you ever have any questions, people will turn up and say, you're being crazy. All truthers are crazy. I quite liked Christopher Hitchens, right? I quite liked Christopher Hitchens. I didn't necessarily agree with absolutely every single one of his takes. I liked him. I liked his thinking in various ways. He was one of those people. One of the few things I ever saw Christopher Hitchens do and say, where I was like, that's mad. What are you doing, Christopher? Why are you saying that, Christopher? That doesn't make any sense, Christopher. Is one time at one lecture somewhere, one Q&A, a truther stood up, and there was Christopher Hitchens and other people on the stage after their little debate, probably about religion and atheism, don't know. A truther stood up and started saying, completely reasonably, started saying, Christopher Hitchens, what are your thoughts and feelings about these questions about on what happened on 9/11? Is there any questions to be answered about XYZ, right? And Christopher Hitchens, of all people, someone who's supposed to be priding himself on being ultra reasonable and logical and all that sort of thing, sort of ultra logical and interested in what is the truth at all times, trying to do away and strip away nonsense and half-truths and superstition and all, that's what Christopher Hitchens was. He was that guy, right? This truther stood up and Christopher Hitchens just heckled him down. Just started talking over him, going, shut up, sit down, I'm paraphrasing. But he was going, shut up, sit down, boo, you're not welcome here, just be quiet, get him out, etc., etc. Why? Why? Why have truthers ever since been basically stigmatized. Been told to shut down, shut up and sit down and be quiet. And you're mad. Why? It's a valid question, isn't it? People not allowed to ask questions about it? Incidentally, to cut to the chase, I'm of the opinion... Look, there's an interesting footprint. Look, World Trade Center 1 and 2, they're the really, really tall, the Twin Towers, the two massive Twin Towers. There's the other buildings in the World Trade Center complex. There's World Trade Center 7, way out there. Look, there's World Trade Center 6, World Trade Center Building 6 in between 1 and 7. Okay. Watch this. Imagine a world before 9/11 happened, if you could imagine.
Now, some very, very sketchy details reaching us here at Sky Centre. Important enough to bring to you, though, at this early stage. We believe has crashed into the World Trade Centre in New York. That happened within the last few moments. No details at this stage as to what sort of plane it is. It could well be a large plane. We are hearing reports of a 737, not yet confirmed yet, although it is a jet. More as we have it. Let's have a look what CBS News is saying, our colleagues over in America.
Southern tip of Manhattan, you're looking at the World Trade Center. We understand that a plane has crashed into the World Trade Center. We don't know anything more than that. We don't know if it was a commercial aircraft. We don't know if it was a private aircraft. We have no idea how many were on board or what the extent of the injuries are right now.
Unbelievable. Those towers were so iconic. They were the New York skyline, those two towers. The old skyline of New York was like an iconic silhouette. All you need show is the building skyline, and then two big towers, and then a continued skyline of tall buildings, and everyone knew at a glance that's New York. Those two towers were New York. Crazy. A crazy, crazy thing. Well, let me read a little bit from an article I wrote 5 years ago on the 20th anniversary. Look, 2001, Remembering 9/11 by B.B. Dade. Published on lotuseaters.com. So 5 years ago, I wrote this article. Look, there's George Bush Jr. there. Sort of nonplussed. He was out of the loop, wasn't he? There's Rummy. Remember Rummy? Donald Rumsfeld, head of the Pentagon, the equivalent of Hegseth nowadays, basically. Hegseth got a slightly different title, but basically the same guy. There's Paul Wolfowitz. Who exactly is Paul Wolfowitz? Don't worry about it. Don't worry too much about that. What sort of things did he write about before 9/11? Did Paul Wolfowitz write about how it would be good... Paul Wolfowitz is Jewish, by the way. Did Paul Wolfowitz write about how it would be in America's interests and America's allies? It would be in their interests if there was a new Pearl Harbor incident. Am I making this up? Do I need a tinfoil hat? Alistair Heath, do I need a tinfoil hat to be talking about this sort of stuff, or is it a matter of record? The new Pearl Harbor. It would be in the United States' interests if they were attacked like they were at Pearl Harbor in some massive and devastating way to give themselves a casus belli, a reason for war. Am I making any of this up? The project for the new American century? Have I just conjured that out of thin air? Is that part of a figment of my imagination? Is that part of my right-wing fantasies? The project for the new American century? A new Pearl Harbor. But that's what Paul Wolfowitz wanted and was talking about before 9/11 happened. Am I making that up? No? That's all a matter of record. Paul Wolfowitz there, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, I write this article, And I talk about some other stuff, like some other historical things and what happened to me that day. But I thought I'll just skip towards the end. Like any good lecturer, quote from your own book, your own article. I write this. I think this was interesting. Still completely personal today and still exactly how I feel today, 5 years on from the 20th anniversary in 2001. I say, it's difficult, B.B. Dade writes, it's difficult now to express how shocking it was. Nothing remotely like it had happened, had ever happened. It's difficult to explain those too young to remember quite how iconic those two towers were. Their very silhouette was a thing of national pride. The old New York skyline was printed and reprinted everywhere, easily the most iconic skyline in the world. Those two towers were New York. You don't see that skyline reproduced anymore. It has lost the thing that made it instantly recognisable. And beyond that, the events were shocking because of their audacity. The sheer scale of what was happening was difficult to fathom. More and more news just kept pouring in of further attacks. The Pentagon had been attacked. They had attacked the Pentagon. Surreal. Surreal. This was really stuff straight out of a rushed Tom Clancy novel. It couldn't really... Incidentally, Tom Clancy did write a novel before 9/11 where someone... It was in his book, it was a Japanese person trying to get their own back for World War II. Japanese person flies a jetliner into the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. It's actually a really good novel. It's one of the... can't remember the main character's name now, where he's got this... Anyway, Tom Clancy wrote a novel where that happened. There was another thing on 9/11. They kept saying, a plane's going to crash into the Capitol building. One's going to crash into the White House and or the Capitol building. Obviously, he never did, but all right. It's like something that day, it felt like something out of a rushed Tom Clancy novel. It couldn't really be happening, could it? And yet it was. The news just kept going. There was talk for hours and hours that planes were going to fly into the White House or the Capitol building, maybe even Wall Street. It was shocking and disturbing on another level too, in the same kind of way that the Zapruder footage is disturbing. That is the footage of John Kennedy getting his head blown off in Dallas in 63, the Zapruder film. It's shocking in the same way that footage is shocking, because after the immediate wide-eyed spectacle of it having passed, after the initial snap of unreality, when selfishness and self-preservation return to your mind, whoever you are, it becomes clear that they could do that to you. Yeah? If they're prepared to shoot John Kennedy in the head, they'd shoot you in the head, wouldn't they? Without a moment's contemplation. In a split second, they'd shoot you in the head if they decided they wanted to or needed to. If they could shoot the president of America in the head, yeah. If they could blow up the World Trade Center, they'd blow up you. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It could have been you in one of those planes or working in one of those buildings. If they are prepared to incinerate whole floors worth of companies like Citibank, Morgan Stanley, Cater Fitzgerald, Bank of America, and on and on and on, then they wouldn't think twice about ending you and everyone you knew. True, isn't it? That's true. That's a statement of fact, is it not? If they could shoot President Kennedy in plain sight, no one is safe. That's what it said. That's what it screamed. We're all targets. 20 years later, writes B.B. Dade, 20 years later, it might sound naive to think that this realisation was news to most in the West. Yeah, we've got a little bit complacent. Didn't we? A little bit. Someone like Fukuyama had said, it's the end of history. Western global liberal democracies had won history, the game of history. Everything's safe now. There won't be any more big wars. There won't be any more giant conflict. A little bit complacent. It may sound naive, but most in the West, that was sort of news to them that, anyone, terrorists, could just kill us, anyone, at any time. Terrorist. The scourge of Islam was unknown, really largely unknown. That is true. Again, if you're young now, if you've grown up only in the 21st century, or even if he's only a small child in the late 90s, it's almost hard to believe. Even in the year 2001, Islam wasn't really a thing in our societies much. Of course, there were Muslims here, of course, but didn't play a big part in the fabric of our society at all, really at all. This is true, what I'm about to read here. Again, if you're very young, you might not believe it, or you might think that's an exaggeration. Surely Bo's sort of exaggerating this a bit. No, I swear to God it's true. Islam practically never impacted day-to-day life. Most people couldn't tell the difference between a Sikh and a Muslim. Yeah. In fact, after 9/11, there were a few sort of weird reprisals. And they sometimes would target Hindus or Sikhs. People thought wearing a turban was a Muslim thing. Yeah, that's how little the average person knew about Islam and Muslims. Men like Osama bin Laden, writes Dade, and his terrorist network were remote and inconsequential things. Most people had never heard of bin Laden. The vast majority of people. Afghan Mujahideen were only in boring BBC Two documentaries and that one Rambo film. How had they possibly achieved such a set of incredible attacks? It's a valid question, isn't it? How had they possibly achieved such a thing? Seems incredible. Seems unlikely even, doesn't it? Dade continues by saying, it certainly was curious. Strange, even. Incongruous. Have these half-assed mountain boys pulled off this? As I say, something almost too surreal about it all. Like a ghoulish type of show was being put on for the cameras. Not only that it seemed like it was something out of a film, sort of was something out of a film. Dade seems to be arguing in this article. I certainly remember watching the coverage that day and seeing and hearing some curious things. I distinctly remember the breaking news that Mohammed Atta's passport had been found on the street very close to Ground Zero. Yeah. See people talk about that and other people say, no, that's fake news, that never happened, you're making that up. I remember it. On 9/11, on the day of 9/11, the BBC saying, a passport has been found. It appears to belong to somebody called Mohammed Atta. Don't tell me that didn't happen or that's fake news after the fact. People have AI'd that after the fact. No, I remember it on that day. It's in my memory banks, it happened. They claimed to have found Mohammed Atta's passport on the ground, on the pavement. Okay, bit curious, that. Odd, Dade continues, odd. I remember watching Paul Bremer. Talk about Paul Bremer, shall we? I remember watching Paul Bremer being interviewed just hours after the collapses on TV, American TV, and confidently telling everyone that it was Osama bin Laden and his evildoers. He seemed very confident in his theory. Eerily confident. Again, I remember that. On the day, the towers had fallen down by midday. They'd fallen down by 10 or 11 a.m. or whatever. By midday, US time, Paul Bremer was on TV, American TV that they then, normal British TV like the BBC, started showing. They beamed round the world, Paul Bremer saying, this is Osama bin Laden. This is Islamic terrorists, and it's Osama bin Laden behind this. By midday, by lunchtime on 9/11, US time, midday. Very, very quickly, almost immediately, really, we're being told that it's Osama bin Laden. Incidentally, I think that they were genuine Islamic terrorists in those planes. Now, whether they were allowed to do what they did is something else. Talk about who Paul Bremer is in a moment. Let's get to the crux of it, my opinion. I think they were genuine Islamic terrorists on those planes, but could have, should have been thwarted by the CIA and the FBI. Again, we know for a matter of fact, there's all sorts of books written about this, a matter of record, that these guys were known to the intelligence services. Known. They were, whatever reason, possibly, allowed to carry out that attack. Let's not even start looking at the FAA and the various war games that were going on that day. How jets weren't scrambled in order to intercept the airliners. Lots and lots and lots of very, very odd and suspicious things. Anyway, Paul Bremer. Who's Paul Bremer? Who is he? Well, senior diplomat, if that's what you want to call him. Someone that's absolutely on the inside of the George Bush Jr. and Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney sphere of power. Right on the inside of that, that's who Paul Bremer is. He went on incidentally after the war in Iraq, you know, a few years later, 2003. After that, he went on to be the new ruler of Iraq for a while. Right after Saddam was toppled, and there was like before there were Iraqi elections, and they elect a new leader of their own. For a while there, a few years, Iraq was just controlled, governed by the United States. Right? The power on the ground was the US Army, and there was a civilian administration basically controlling Iraq, saying what the policy is now. Who was put in charge of that right near the beginning of it for quite a while, during sort of the key bit of it? Paul Bremer. He was the one who decided they'd have the de-Baathification of Iraq. They would do away with any Baathist party loyalists in the army, the Iraqi army, Iraqi intelligence services, and their equivalent of like the civil service and all that. A disastrous decision, actually, which led to a real life sectarian bloodbath played out for years and years and years. Paul Bremer, that's who he is. Lo and behold, my memory banks hold the memory of one Mr. Paul Bremer going on US TV at midday on 9/11 saying, "It's Bin Laden." Odd, that's odd. He was eerily confident about that. Let's continue reading the last few paragraphs here. Over those coming hours and even days, the curiosities only seem to mount. Oh, it's Bin Laden, is it? Okay, we're being told it's Bin Laden by people in the know. Okay, who is this Bin Laden? I'd heard the name before, but didn't know a great deal about his background and everything. No, not many people did. Some did. He wasn't an unknown entity by any stretch of the imagination. Bill Clinton had been talking about maybe wanting to do a strike or blow up Osama Bin Laden and his terrorist training camps years before this, deep into the 90s. He wasn't an unknown entity, Bin Laden. Not exactly a household name. I'd heard of him before. I was only like 19 or 20 years old, but I'd heard the name before. It's like, oh, that Bin Laden guy's behind it. Okay, all right. The guy whose terrorists train on monkey bars, that guy. Oh, is it? Okay, wow, right, okay. Tell us more. What's going on? Who is this guy? But the curiosities only seem to mount, writes Dade. The clarity, the clearness of exactly what happened, of exactly what occurred on that day, September 11th, never seemed to fully reveal itself, at least to my mind. Not to my personal satisfaction, anyway. Many unexplained elements, which Wikipedia and the intelligence services are adamant about calling conspiracy theories, still remain unsolved. And I wrote that in 2001, and it's still the case in 2026. Sorry, 2021. It still remains the case in 2026. On Wikipedia, they'll have like a 9/11 conspiracy theorists page. And actually, they're totally legit questions. But they're just conspiracy theorists. There's no more questions here. There's no questions to be asked about it. Well, there bloody well are, and here's some of them. There was the curious case of Flight 93 and the strange crash site in Pennsylvania. Ever seen pictures of that? A giant jetliner, commercial jetliner, was supposed to have crashed into the ground. They said that, what was it, Todd Beamer said, let's roll. And he tried to storm the cockpit. And the terrorists, instead of being overpowered, just crashed the plane into the ground. Perhaps they were on their way to the Capitol building or the White House. In order to prevent themselves being overrun and the plane getting back under the control of the goodies, they just crashed the plane straight into the ground, wherever they were. It happened to be over a field in Pennsylvania. Have you seen pictures of that crash site? It doesn't appear to be the crash site of a jumbo jet. I don't know what to tell you. If it isn't, then where did Flight 93 go? I don't know. There's a question mark, isn't there? They were never able to show, beyond any reasonable doubt, that a jumbo jet crashed in that field in Pennsylvania. Giant Pratt and Whitney jumbo jet engines don't disappear. They don't vaporize upon impact. They don't. Dozens, or is it even hundreds, of flight crash investigators said, well, that's not the crash site of a jumbo jet. Jumbo jet doesn't just disappear. It doesn't burrow into the ground, leaving the outline of its wings, and disappear. That's not how that works. Even in a marsh, even in a morass, that's not how that works. But there's no question mark over it, is there? O continues. There was the curious case of Building 7 and Lucky Larry's opportune insurance policy. Oh yeah, Lucky Larry Silverstein. Anyone heard of Larry Silverstein? Lucky Larry, he's very lucky. He's very lucky to have taken out a giant insurance policy on the whole World Trade Center site that insured him against terrorist attack just months before it happened. Lucky Larry, very, very lucky man. Very lucky man. World Trade Center 7, that's a whole rabbit hole. Whole rabbit hole. And Lucky Larry said they decided to pull it. That's a quote. I'm not making that up. That's a quote. What does that mean? Did he mean something slightly different to what he said? Who knows? It is odd that World Trade Center Building 7 did seem to just collapse into its own footprint hours and hours and hours and hours after. It was heavily damaged. I won't deny that. That building was heavily damaged by one of the falling bigger towers. World Trade Center 1, was it? Nonetheless, it sort of folded in the middle and fell down into its own footprint hours and hours after. Oh, and the BBC reported that it had fallen down before it had. Yeah. What was in World Trade Center Building 7, actually? What other companies and buildings and documents and records were held in Building 7? Perhaps look into that in your own time, what that was all about. What things were held in Building 7 which might have been better if they were never found and or destroyed from a certain point of view? I'll leave it at that. It's a massive rabbit hole. You go down that one in your own time. I'll be here all morning. It's already gone 9. Dade continues in this article saying, there was the curious case of the Pentagon's security cameras not working as well as expected. You would think, wouldn't you, that the Pentagon would be heavily surveilled, that there would be dozens, maybe hundreds of CCTV cameras all around the Pentagon from every different angle. You would think that, wouldn't you? And so, footage of the jumbo jet flying into the side of it would have it from loads of different angles, or at least one angle, clear bit of footage, or maybe from the things surrounding it. For example, I don't know, like petrol stations in and around the Pentagon. Because the Pentagon sits in the middle of the city, not the middle of the city, but it's not right out in the middle of nowhere, the Pentagon. It's like in the, well, I suppose, would you say the suburbs, the outskirts, roughly, of DC. Anyway, there's all sorts of things around it, motorways, petrol stations, all sorts of stuff. Maybe one of those would have caught a clear bit of footage of a jumbo jet flying into it. Nope. Or if they did, the FBI took them all away and impounded them and have never released them to this day. All we've got is a tiny bit of grainy footage with a few frames that appear to show something flying into it. And if this is all new to you and you think, Bo, what are you talking about? Surely you're misrepresenting the record there. Surely that can't be the case. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Lots of people said the physics of that flight path of that plane that is supposed to have flown into the Pentagon doesn't make sense. Professional pilot saying that's an extreme maneuver for a Boeing, whatever the giant airliner it was. An extreme maneuver. Be very, very, very difficult for anyone to pull off, let alone someone that's only had a few flying lessons on a Cessna or wherever it was. The physics of the resulting destruction at the Pentagon doesn't seem to add up. But yet there's some wreckage of a commercial airliner fuselage on the green, on the grass, outside the Pentagon. So what is going on there? What happens? It's just a curious case to me. Still a bit curious. I just do still feel like there are one or two questions left to be answered about exactly what happened at the Pentagon on September the 11th in the year 2001. That's all. I've just still got a few question marks about it. Okay. Bo goes on to say, there was the curious case of something molten, pouring from the towers before they collapsed. Pouring out. Molten. And reports of lots more molten steel, lots more, rivers of it, in the basement and the footprint of the collapsed towers after they'd come down. People go down there. There's sort of rivers of molten metal down there. That's strange, isn't it? Writes Dade. What about the curious case of Ground Zero not being forensically studied and all the steel spirited away and recycled? That is curious, isn't it? Because that's a crime scene, isn't it? Right after that, a giant crime scene. You would think that the authorities would be forensically trying to... Sorry, one moment. Harry, can you ask someone to turn off the Hoover that they're hoovering out there? Do you mind? Thanks. Sorry, I don't know if that's coming up on the mic or not, but that's distracting me. All right. That's a crime scene, isn't it? 9/11 there. You would think, a bit like, I don't know, say like Lockerbie. They take Lockerbie. What they did is they scoured everywhere, every tiny little bit, every tiny square inch of the Lockerbie crash site, and picked up every tiny little thing they could. Every tiny, tiny little scrap they could. And reconstructed the whole plane in a hangar somewhere. Every tiny bit, and they reconstructed the whole plane so that they could... See, they just went through it with a fine-tooth comb, as fine a tooth of comb as they possibly could, to find out exactly what went wrong. Every tiny piece of physical evidence is like gold dust. None of that happened on 9/11. None of it. They just cleared it all up and shipped it out to some island off New York, where it was kept for a while, and then shipped off to China, where it was recycled. That's evidence. All of that was evidence. Extremely, extremely odd and suspicious to me that that was how that was dealt with. I'm curious about that. So independent third party investigators had no, at least that, had no opportunity to forensically test some of the girders and things. Just what the 9/11 Commission tells you, and they tell you there's nothing to see here. It just is what it is. Odd. Okay. How about the curious case of the 9/11 Commission completely failing to address vital questions? Yeah, how about that? How about them apples? Yeah. The 9/11 Commission that George Bush and Dick Cheney did everything in their power not to have to answer any questions for, but in the end did. Just completely failing to address, just lying by omission, just completely failing to address some very, very, very serious questions about the physics of the whole thing. lots of architects and engineers have said over the years, lots of them, experts, that the physics of it doesn't really add up properly. A building like that with steel girders shouldn't just start pancaking itself down into its own footprint. That's odd. That's odd. No other building like it has ever done anything like that, ever. But the 9/11 Commission says that's what happened, that's the end of the story, and we'll lie by omission about loads of other questions people have got. Just not address it. All right, great. Okay. I find that curious. And there still is, Beau continues, and there still is, of course, the curious case of the so-called truthers being roundly stigmatised and ridiculed and largely silenced, all very suspicious. Even here, now, I must bite my tongue and veil the depths of my suspicions, lest the globalist establishment turn their eye of Sauron in this direction. Can't really go into the full details of my suspicions, because probably get in trouble, almost certainly would get in trouble. Would get this channel in trouble. Okay, I conclude this by saying, a terrible, terrible crime was committed against civilization itself that day, the full ramifications of which are still playing out. Much like the JFK assassination, unfortunately, it seems as though there are vested interests who don't want the full, undiluted truth to emerge. September the 11th is a nasty boil that just won't heal. It is scar tissue whose blemishes will never disappear. It is a wound whose trauma can only be assuaged by truth, the only salve which has still not yet been applied. Well, I wrote that 5 years ago and I feel exactly the same to this day. Probably people in the comments or the chat even right now saying, Beau's out of his mind, crazy conspiracy theorist. There you go. There you have it. That's what I think. That's how I feel. 25 years ago to this day. If I'm not going to talk about it today, probably never will. So, there you go. Let's move on this day in history. They talk about it, of course. September the 11th. Down through the centuries, nay the millennia, what happened of note. On this day, in 1297, is the Battle of Stirling Bridge. Scottish rebel William Wallace, of Braveheart fame, defeats the English. Yeah. Do you think I've got long form content all about the age of Edward Longshanks, Edward the First, on Bodade's Epochs, my history thing show behind the paywall? Do consider signing up for as little as £5 a month, bronze tier membership, a body of work built up over 5 years, quite literally and without exaggeration, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of content there. Do you think I'll talk about Edward the First and therefore William Wallace? Yes. It's all there. Stirling Bridge. Whenever an Englishman and a Scotsman start bantering about who beat who in battles, the Scotsman will almost certainly bring up Stirling Bridge. We always have to counter with Culloden, and the Scotsman goes quiet. But nonetheless, many years later, Culloden, of course. Stirling Bridge, a smashing victory for the Scots against the English. Got to give it to them. Yep, they got a good jab in. Well done, well done. Got to give them credit. Okay, on this day in 1609, an expulsion order is issued against the Moriscos. I'm probably pronouncing that badly. Moriscos? Of Valencia. Valencia. Beginning the expulsion of all the Spanish Moriscos, who are former Muslims and their descendants. So, getting towards the end of the Reconquista there. Spain wanting to rid itself of its Muslim scourge. Okay, on this day in 1697, the Battle of Zenta. The Holy League forces led by Prince Eugenie of Savoy. I'll talk all about him when I get up to the Oliver Cromwell days. I'll talk all about Eugenie of Savoy. Oh, no, wait, he was in the... I've got that wrong. I do already talk about Eugene of Savoy in the stuff I talk about the Battle of Blenheim. Got long form content all about the Battle of Blenheim, which is like, what, 1704, is it? 1705, off the top of my head, if memory serves. Prince Eugenie of Savoy was involved in all of that. Sorry, not Cromwell, not the Civil War. Okay. But in this battle, on behalf of the Holy League, Battle of Zenta, he beats the Ottoman army under Mustafa II, ending Ottoman control over large parts of Central Europe. Thank God. They got as far as Vienna, didn't they? A couple of times. Cheeky. That's pushing back. All right. On this day in 1708, the Great Northern War, Charles XII of Sweden stops his march to conquer Moscow outside Smolensk, the turning point in that war. We've talked about the Great Northern War before, haven't we, once or twice? On this day in history, I think we have. Yeah, he only got as far as Smolensk. Have we talked about it before? Anyway. On this day in 1916, the first true self-service supermarket, Clarence Sanders's Piggly Wiggly, opens in Memphis, Tennessee. 1916. And there's a picture of it. Interesting. All right. And then they do 9/11. Three different factoids. On this day, in the year 2001, passengers and crew of United Airlines Flight 93 attempt to retake control of the hijacked plane by terrorists. Todd Beamer, let's roll. Causing the plane to crash in a Pennsylvania field, killing all 44 people on board. Did it crash in that field in Pennsylvania? On this day in 2001, terrorists hijack a passenger plane and crash it into the Pentagon, killing 125 people. Was it a jetliner that crashed into the Pentagon? Something did. Something definitely did. Was it that jetliner? Okay, and on this day in 2001, two passenger planes hijacked by Al-Qaeda terrorists crash into New York's World Trade Center towers, causing the collapse of both and the deaths of 2,606 people. All right, talk to all about it. Let's do our Rumble Rants and Super Chats today. Let's do this with my mic boom so I can see the left-hand side of my screen. Is Global Church History going to be in at number one? No, he's not. Oh, he's been pipped. And he's been pipped by someone who isn't global Jewish history. Acid Helm. Mr. Acid Helm. You've done it. He got up early in the morning. He's pipped global church history by 7 minutes. Acid Helm, in at 38 minutes past six in the morning. You've got to get up early in the morning, quite literally, to beat global church history. But Acid Helm only bloody well did. All right. Well, he says, morning, folks. Hope you all have a good weekend. Recently watched the Secret Hitler video on the website. Was really funny. Should do it again with all the main lads. Okay, I didn't know what that was. Is that Harry, little Harry, remind me, was that a lad's hour recently that I just wasn't on? Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So sorry, Acid Helm. I didn't watch it. If I'm not on a lad's hour, I'm probably not going to watch it myself. It's always on a Friday, isn't it, a lad's hour? I'm usually, because I come in early, I get to go home early. Whilst they're doing a lad's hour, if I'm not on it, when they're doing a lad's hour, I'm going home at that point. So I haven't seen that. But if you said it was funny, and we should do it again with the main lads, maybe we will. I'm vaguely aware, was it one of Dan's ones, Dan Tubbs' concepts? He's quite good at coming up with funny and or interesting ideas for lads hour, isn't he? All right. The next one is global church history. In at number two, down one place to two. Global church history says, this Sunday at 7:33 a.m. and 29 minutes past 7 p.m., my interview will air on BBC Radio Wales. This Sunday, guys. So check it out. This Sunday. I said I'd give it a plug, so I'm doing that now. Yeah, okay. 7:30 in the morning, 7:30 in the evening. BBC Radio Wales. You want to hear global church history talking? Get on it. Do it. Global church history, if you can clip that, put it on Twitter at me, and I'll retweet it for you. How about that? Can't say fair in that. Not that my Twitter account is gigantic, but it's not nothing. I wonder if I've got 30,000, is it? 35,000? It's 35,000. Better than nothing, isn't it? Happy to do that for you, sir. All right. Global Church History also does two factoids for us. So what have we got here today? He says, on this day in 9 AD, the Battle of the Teutoburg Forest ended. That'll be at the end of the reign of Augustus. I think I've got long-form content all about the reign of Augustus. Oh, yeah, behind the paywall on lotuseaters.com. More than once I talk about the reign of Augustus. One of my favourite figures from history. The Teutoburg Forest, yeah. Has anyone ever seen Derek Jacobi's I, Claudius. Well, Robert Graves's I, Claudius, with Derek Jacobi as Claudius. And Brian Blessed as Augustus. Varus, where are my eagles? Yep, that's my Brian Blessed. That's Bo doing Brian Blessed, doing Augustus. He lost his eagles, his military standard, the eagles, in the Teutoburg Forest, and he wanted them back. Varus, the general, had lost Augustus the eagles, and Brian Blessed, stroke Augustus, wants them back. Okay, could go on and on and on and on about that, but I'm going to move on. Second factoid this morning is, on this day in 813 AD, Louis the Pious was made co-emperor. So that's the son of Charlemagne, isn't it? Yeah, that's right, isn't it? Charlemagne's son. Charlemagne wanted... Is that right? I got this terribly wrong. I think so, yeah. Completely off the top of my head. Wanted to have a good succession. Yeah, that's right. Charlemagne to his son, Louis the Pious, had a relatively good succession. But then it was Louis the Pious's sons that were rebellious. Like Henry II's sons. His brood of rebellious sons. So yeah, Charlemagne made his son co-emperor before he, Charlemagne, was even dead. Again, fascinating bit of history there. Fascinating. Okay, the next rumble rant is from Buzz Aldrin. Not Buzz Aldrin. Buzz Aldrin, like the drink gin. Buzz Aldrin. It's quite funny, actually. Says, it's obvious the state's aim is to weaken the people's morale and submit us to accepting our fate. Endless cost increases on the basics, many of which could be avoided, aimed to destroy our spirit. Yeah, I can believe that. I'm not sure if that's... it feels like that, doesn't it? Let's put it that way. It feels like that. Doesn't it? In all sorts of ways, it feels like that. Trying to demoralise us and break our spirit. Just not acting in our interests again and again and again and again, almost at all times, from 100 different vectors at once. Our own government, yeah. Feels like that. Buzz Aldrin says it's obvious that that's the case. I mean, I'm not gonna disagree with you. All right, TomRat247 says, I was at uni, but I was working at Debenhams at the time. I guess on 9/11 are you talking about? I just sat and watched the big TV in the ground floor men's section, aghast and horrified. Yeah. Yeah, I remember it. I remember it really quite clearly. Just sitting there all day long, just glued to the TV because they were doing 24-hour footage coverage of it. Just sitting there, just couldn't. It was like something else, crazy. Again, I've used the word surreal, haven't I, a number of times. That's the best word for it, in my feeling. Okay, 14 Barber says, morning, mate, all right? Yeah, I'm all right. Not too bad. Hope you are, sir. You've put... Never forget, B, did you see Williams F1 are doing the Bin Laden paint job this weekend? Don't know what that is. I know there's a Formula One race this weekend in Madrid, isn't it? I think it's Madrid, which is new to the F1 calendar, isn't it? It's like a really big banked corner. The Williams are doing a Bin Laden paint job this weekend. I don't know what you're talking about. Don't know what you mean. Surely you're not actually putting like a Bin Laden face on it. I don't know what you mean. Okay. You also put, I remember where I was when the plane crashed. It was surreal. Have a good weekend ahead. Yeah, please. Thanks. Thanks, Gaia. Thanks, dude. Appreciate it. You too. All right, that's the last rumble rant. Let's have a look at the super chats. Harry, you need to bring the YouTube super chats up on my screen. Can you make it so? Engage. There they are. All right. There's a fair few. There's over 20 here. Let's get through them. The first one's for a fair bit of money from Erwin Romulus. Met him in real life. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Very generous of you. You've put, on this day in 2001, five men apparently of Urban Moving Systems, New York City. That's Urban Moving Systems, held a perfectly innocent dance-off near the Doric Towers in New Jersey. Some guys started dancing whilst watching 9/11 play out in the middle of New York from afar. They started dancing. They were arrested, held for 71 days, then deported. Don't look into it. That would be anti-Semitic. Yeah. Yeah, don't look into that. Don't go down that rabbit hole. You'd have to be an anti-Semite. So, in the name of T's and C's, I say don't look into that. Okay. Richard Bucknam, 9703, said, just wanted to thank you for your show. I used to watch Scott Adams in the morning until his untimely demise. And Hush Tones, Save Politics, is my Sunday afternoon pleasure. Oh, thank you. Yeah. Do check out my other channels. I've got State of Politics there with Nate, Mr. H Reviews. And then I've also got History Bro, which is just me, my old history stuff. There's no paywall. If you want like 5 hours of me talking about Hannibal, or 5 hours of me talking about Alexander the Great, for example, 9 hours of me talking about Mao Zedong, for example, and on, check out History Bro. There's no paywall there. It's all free. All right. If you want several hours of me talking about the young Stalin, not his time as dictator, just his childhood and his young life, his formative years when he was in his twenties as a very young man. Interested in that? Well, there's hours of it on History Bro for free. All right. And much, much more. All right. Next one here. What have we got? Kiefer Brown, 1337, says, on this day in 2001... It's an Eamon Holmes joke. He's done an Eamon Holmes joke. All right, I'll read it out. On this day in 2001, Eamon Holmes returned home following the completion of a personal passion project conducted chiefly from Afghanistan. Just to explain that, Eamon Holmes is completely innocent. I once made a blooper on this show where I was talking about the crimes of Hugh Edwards, but I said Eamon Holmes. And now it's an in-joke on this channel that Eamon Holmes is guilty of terrible crimes that he definitely, obviously isn't. That's an in-joke. Poor, innocent Eamon Holmes, who's really done nothing wrong that we know of, and is actually suffering from some serious, really, really serious health issues. And he's now the butt of a joke, a well-meaning joke, of course, if there's such a thing, on this channel, that he does things, he's guilty of crimes he obviously isn't, because I once confused him with Hugh Edwards. People joke that he is responsible for crimes that happened centuries ago, right? It doesn't have to make any sense, really. Well, there you go. Kiefer Brown went there on 9/11. He went there. All right. It is kind of funny. All right. Mr. Gently Benevolent said, any chance we'll stop hearing about... Okay. I'm going to... It's borderline. I'm going to make a decision not to read that one out because of T's and C's. It's my job not to get this channel in trouble in terms of T's and C's. So I'm not going to read that one out. Sorry, mate. Sorry. All right, next one. CG Man says, I'm going crazy over this China discourse on Chagos. Do people realise Mauritius is effectively an Indian protectorate, hosts an Indian military base, and about 70% of Mauritians are ethnic Indians? It's interesting. I did know, obviously, it's like much closer to India, isn't it, than China, just on the map, of course. And they're Muslim, isn't it? Mauritius is a Muslim country. I've seen it a number of places saying that the Mauritian government has been given loads and loads and loads of aid by China, not by India, and that therefore if they're in anyone's pocket, it's China, regardless of the ethnic makeup of the relatively small population of them. Is that not the case? You correct me, CJ Man. Is it not that China, like, because China goes around the world, doesn't it? A bit like Cold War style in a way. Giving lots and lots and lots of infrastructure and money and aid and building to all different places around the world to get them to be on side with China. Didn't they do that? Haven't they done that to Mauritius? Is that not the case? Even though they're mostly more Indian people than Chinese people. I don't think anyone thinks Mauritian people are like Chinese. It's to do with money and infrastructure, isn't it? Is that not why people say that about Mauritius? Okay. Hellbadger84 says, Paul Merton, or the woke comedian Paul Merton. Oh, he used to do Room 101. Okay, but Paul Merton says, Sobo, what are you putting into Room 101? Well, Paul, I'm not becoming a hated minority, living a sectarian nightmare in one and only and in our one and only ancestral homeland. So I'll choose Africa. Okay. I go on the TV show Room 101, hosted by Paul Merton, and I choose to put in Room 101 Africa, according to Hellbadger84. Okay, quite funny. Let's keep going. Cyberchud2077 says, we can all be grateful that so many lives were saved through being notified before the event using the Israeli Ogidu Messenger app. There's something there. Is there? I can't remember. People can look into that in their own time. I've got to whip through these. People, that's part of the conspiracy. Bo is scared. That's why he's whipping through these. Okay. Tatum2733. If my book was fun fiction, I'd just ask you to read a chapter. But since it's a bit tedious and intellectual, I stake you reading one on a huge world event, lol. Oh, that was from yesterday where Tatum said, if he won our little wager, or his wager, about the oil prices, I need to read a chapter of his book. Okay, that's what that is. Shoney C said, growth in every podcast and hope in every heart. Okay, thanks, Shoney C. Mr. Gently Benevolent again said, this Dade fellow you're reading knows his stuff. Yeah, it's good. Check out BB Dade on lotuseaters.com. There's quite a lot of articles he's written over the years. They're all great. Great insights, great prose as well. He's a wordsmith. He's good at writing. He's good. Graham P. Booth says, why haven't you changed the bus behind you yet? That's up to Harry. I didn't do anything. This is all Harry. I don't make thumbnails. I don't do anything technical. This Harry created this.
It's coming soon. It's just taking longer than I thought it would.
There you go. There's the answer to that. There's the answer to that. Every day, Graham P. Booth says, every day my disappointment sting after that fella sent you the new one. Little Harry, let's make it happen. Light a fire under it. Let's get it done. For the sake of Graham P. Booth's disappointment sting, if nothing else. Do it. Okay. Thomas Glindower says, the problem with the truther community is it's infested with wacky QAnon types. That's true, actually. Some of them do have... Yeah, okay, that's true. That poison the well and make genuine questions sound crazy. That's absolutely true. That's a fair and good and valid point as well. You try and ask genuine, valid questions, which anyone in their right mind would concede are a valid question, and someone else comes in. It was a heat death ray from outer space. Or whatever, yeah. The QAnon types. That's also suspicious. That's what intelligence services do. They come in and they muddy the waters crazily. Like the JFK assassination. You've got a very, very specific set of legit questions that you've got concerns about, and then it gets flooded by truly bizarre and crazy other stories. Who's planting all that misinformation? True misinformation and disinformation. Yeah? About some sort of crazy advanced ray weapon from outer space. Why are you muddying the waters with that? Who are you muddying the waters with that? Who exactly? What's your motivation for doing that exactly? Good question. Good point, Thomas Glinder. Good point. Yep. All right, Calzetti says, had an absolutely cracking morning watching Bo struggling to not reveal his true power level. Best morning I've had in 25 years to the day. Yeah, well, as I said in that article, to this day, I must bite, must, because of T's and C's, must bite my tongue and veil the true depths of my suspicion. Yeah. All right, Harry. Belgians are evil, trust me. That's what they've called themselves. At Belgians are evil, trust me. Say, September the 11th equals evil plan by Belgians, West Frisians, and Eamon Holmes. Another Eamon Holmes joke there this morning. Also, Prime Minister has Dutch wife. Maybe a West Frisian behind holiday tax. And then you put Groningen, smiley face. Belgians are evil, trust me, cares all about like the Frisian question and Groningen issues. Okay. Zef317 says, Eamon Holmes opened the gates of Toledo. Look into that if you're interested. Belgians are evil, trust me again, says, intro to Frisians. Eastern Saterland Frisians good, but to be consumed by Groningen and became part of Groningen's culture. West Frisian foes, however. Again, I told you, at Belgians are evil, trust me, cares about, it's the number one issue of the in the world for him, is the Frisian question. Okay, CG Mam 8923 says, this would be in response to where you asked about Mauritius and China and India, and I said what I said, and you're replying to that now already. I think that's what this is going to be. So you say, yes, China does give them aid. Don't miss out on Indian military bases and navy and historic connections. Okay, it's all part of the bigger picture. Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Good point, in fact. Fair enough. I should look into that more. The whole Chagos Island thing, the crux of it, in a way, one argument you can make is that what's at the real heart of it is the government of Mauritius. Why are we trying to give those islands away to Mauritius? Exactly. Yeah. What is the government of Mauritius, and who, if anyone, is truly behind them? What are they a proxy for, if anything? Yeah. All right, good question. Interesting. Okay, and the last one here is from Tayton2733. Says, CG Mam is right. Indian workers are bought en masse. Are brought en masse. What, to Mauritius? Okay, fair enough. But there's the, as I say, like a level above. Like, who's paying for that? No, that would be a more salient question. Who's sort of facilitating that, making that happen? Is it a foreign government? And if so, is it Indian or Chinese? It's Chinese. Okay. Okay, and one last, just ticked in, may as well read it, from Tatum2733 again, says, I'm now excited about potentially an oil crisis, lol, so you can win your argument and get kudos from me and make me read one of the chapters of your book. Okay, that's the show. It's now 37 minutes past 9 in the AM British Summer Time on September the 11th in the year of our Lord, 2026. All right. 25 years ago today. Crazy. Feels crazy to say that. Try and make the best of the day ahead if you can. In fact, the weekend, the whole weekend ahead. Carpe diem, seize the day. Or seize the days. Try and make them count if you can, if you're at liberty to use the time wherever you please. You try and do something valuable with it. You've got a finite number of days on this earth. It's probably later than you think. All right then. Until Monday morning, guys. Do take care.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.